Michigan's Attorney General, Dana Nessel, dropped some pretty big news last night. Her office has been looking into allegations that some Republicans seized voting machines in 2020 to test them. Their goal was to validate the conspiracy that Donald Trump actually won Michigan's 2020 presidential vote. We have said it before, and we will say it again. Joe Biden won the presidential election in Michigan in 2020. Full stop. But the situation has been really ticklish. One of the people involved in the alleged conspiracy is Dana Nessel's opponent as she runs for re-election as Attorney General this fall.
She not only said that Matt DiPerno was involved in this, the letter from the Attorney General's office indicated that he was present for at least one of these testing scenarios that was done on the voting machines, and described him as one of the prime instigators of this plot.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Today, Detroit News politics reporter Craig Mauger brings us up to speed on an election conspiracy investigation that has been unfolding all summer long.
So the Attorney General's office investigation was focused on whether individuals had gained improper access to voting tabulators in the state. Keep in mind, you know, these are the machines that are used to help count our votes for every election. And if someone, some unnamed party, had gained access into the machines, had broken seals on the machines, had run tests on the machines, that could be a problem for elections going forward, and those tabulators would have to be taken out of circulation. This whole situation originated with Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson in February sending a letter to Attorney General Nessel asking her to launch this investigation. That's what started this probe.
It feels like this whole thing has happened kind of quietly, for better or for worse. You know, I guess a skeptic's view might be that, you know, nobody wants to, you know, stir up the controversy of things that may involve one's own opponents. But on the other hand, people may attribute some different motives to that. What did we learn with Nessel's statement about the investigation? I mean, I don't think I knew that Matt DiPerno, her erstwhile opponent, was tied up in it for sure.
No, I mean, that was one of the big revelations, that not only was Matt DiPerno allegedly involved with this effort to take control of voting machines, move them to hotel rooms or Airbnbs in Oakland County and analyze them, run tests on them. She not only said that Matt DiPerno was involved in this, the letter from the Attorney General's office indicated that he was present for at least one of these testing scenarios that was done on the voting machines, and described him as one of the prime instigators of this plot. I mean, not only was he involved, he was helping organize and orchestrate this plot, according to the Attorney General's office findings. So it puts the state of Michigan in this situation where there are potential criminal charges hanging over the head of the likely Republican nominee for Attorney General, Matt DiPerno. And that investigation was done by the Democratic Attorney General who he's running against, Dana Nessel. And there's a lot being made of this in terms of she's investigating her political opponent. That is somewhat true. But at the end of the day, what happened in the last few days is Attorney General Dana Nessel's office asked for a special prosecutor, some other individual who does not have a conflict, to look at all the evidence that her office has collected and decide who should be charged and what they should be charged with. So it does add a level of independence to the final decision here that should play out, you know, over the next couple weeks or months.
I don't know that folks who support Matt DiPerno would be entirely surprised to know he was involved. I mean, the way he rose to prominence was being part of the Trump team's effort to overturn election results. But I mean, how are they playing this? What does Matt DiPerno have to say about the news?
Matt DiPerno is generally describing these allegations as false. He is alleging that this is Dana Nessel weaponizing the office of Attorney General to go after him. There are some Republicans who are rushing to his defense on social media. Michigan Republican Party co-chair Michonne Maddock is among them. I mean, there have been a lot of Republicans who have remained noticeably silent on this. This document that was released by Attorney General Dana Nessel's office also implicates a current state House member, Representative Dar Rendon, in this plot. I have not heard as of this moment from the House Speaker's office about what they make of this. Dar Rendon was allegedly telling at least one clerk that she needed this tabulator as part of an investigation by the House of Representatives, which is a misrepresentation of what was occurring. But the Speaker's office has not weighed in. It's going to put Republicans in Michigan in a very difficult position. If they give credence to some of this, some of these findings by Attorney General Nessel's office, how do they dismiss other elements of these findings? You know, maybe they want to say this part of it's true, but this part against Matt DiPerno is false. It's going to be a difficult situation for them to navigate.
That's what I was wondering. I mean, how specific can DiPerno be? Has he stated, I did not do this? Or is he just implying that the charges are politically motivated and keeping it kind of vague about what he did or did not do with voting machines?
He has described the allegations as false. He was on a radio station this morning where he was specifically asked if he was with these voting machines in hotel rooms. And he said, I have nothing to do with hotel rooms. I have nothing to do with Airbnbs. So it is a way of saying that he has nothing to do with this plot, essentially. It's not a direct rejection of the idea that he was aware of this. This will all come out, you know, as we all expect in the next few days, to find out what happens when he has to answer specific questions, because he can't avoid them. Unlike some individuals who might be tied to this, he has to be out campaigning for public office, and reporters across the state are going to be asking him very specific questions about these findings.
We need to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Craig, like you mentioned, there are some other folks who are embroiled in this. It gets a little confusing. We've got State Representative Dare Rendon and Barry County Sheriff Dar Leaf both involved. Has anything struck you about how they've responded to word of the investigation?
You know, Dar Leaf does not usually talk to the media. Every once in a while, he'll provide a response. He does not respond to my questions, so I haven't heard much out of him. He has said at events previously that he personally never confiscated any voting machines. Well, there's not really an allegation that he personally confiscated the voting machines. The allegation is that his sheriff's department worked with clerks to, in some ways, pressure them to hand over a voting machine. When it comes to the Representative Rendon, she has not provided direct answers to us about what role she has played in this. She previously, when we first reported that she was involved in this, she declined to provide answers. She declined to say whether she had been interviewed by state authorities. She basically said she had no knowledge of this. She definitely does have knowledge of this, according to the Attorney General's office, and according to not just one, not just two, not just three, but numerous clerks in her district who have said that she contacted them about getting access to their voting machines. It's essentially a proven fact that she has knowledge of this, but she has not provided definitive answers about why she was doing this and why she allegedly told a clerk that she was working on behalf of the state house.
Craig, I'm wondering about the timeline that this might play out, and also who could conceivably serve as a special prosecutor. I mean, at this point, is there anyone in Michigan legal circles who's not too close to a sitting attorney general or to Trump allies to take on this role?
Yeah, I think there are people out there that could do this. There are some questions over whether this will be a current county prosecutor. That's whom many people expect will be chosen to do this, one of the state's elected county prosecutors. I mean, there's some possibility that it could be someone else, maybe someone who formerly held an office of trust that could do this. I mean, there are a lot of people out there that are not especially closely tied to Dana Nessel and are not especially closely tied to Donald Trump, it'll be interesting and very telling to see where this lands, whom they pick. Do they pick a Republican? Do they pick a Democrat who has criticized Dana Nessel before? I mean, those people exist. There are Democratic prosecutors in the state that did not endorse Dana Nessel when she first ran for office. Maybe it's one of those individuals. It's going to be fascinating. And as to the timing of all of this, I mean, keep in mind, the investigation part of this has been completed. It's been going on for months. The state police and the attorney general's office's special agents have done the work. They've reached their findings. They're just ready to present it to somebody, and somebody needs to look at it and make a decision. Did they violate this law? Did they violate this law? You know, that, you know, you wouldn't expect that to be a very lengthy process.
When Matt DiPerno was first chosen by the party to be nominee, we should say that the formalization of his position at the convention is yet to happen. There was a lot of infighting about whether he was electable. Do you see this investigation bolstering the argument, or will the party as it stands close ranks around him?
You know, I mean, Matt DiPerno's diehard supporters are going to take this as the Democrats are trying to, you know, take him out of the race. I mean, that's what we saw with Ryan Kelly in the gubernatorial primary. But there are a group of independent voters and a group of potentially swayable Democratic voters who are going to look at this quite differently. And they're going to wonder, now there are mounting questions about Matt DiPerno. There are questions about the Attorney Grievance Commission looking into his conduct as a lawyer. There are questions about this investigation playing out currently. I mean, that's going to be a lot for Matt DiPerno to have to explain away. And it, not to say he's not capable of countering this. He probably will be. He convinced Republican delegates that he was electable despite his opponents saying that these charges, some charge like this, might come down the road. So, you know, there's a few months to go, and he's going to have to make his case to the voters of the state.
And that's the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Thayer. You can find full Stateside episodes at michiganradio.org. Today's pod was produced by Aaron Allen. Other producers on our show are Mike Blank, Mercedes Mejia, Ronia Cabansag, and April Van Buren. Our executive producer is Laura Weber-Davis. Music from this episode is from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening. We will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.